If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. And while you find your place, I want to go ahead and let you know that you came today on a very special day. Because we are here to worship Jesus. Amen. But other than that, we are here today and we are going to reveal the new name and the new vision of this church. Now, if you're just coming in here and you're trying to figure out, okay, what's exactly going on, you walked into a transitional period of this church where we are doing a replant and we are starting something new. The faithful members of Lake Martin Baptist Church have acted in faith and allowed this opportunity to start a fresh new work. And with a new work comes a new identity, a new name, a fresh vision. So that's where we are right now. And we are preparing throughout this end of this year for a launch day in January where we pretty much say, okay, here we are. This is the name. We have things in place. But right now we are preparing for that day. And we are going to be looking at the vision and sharing the name. Now, let me go ahead and let y'all know now, we're waiting to the end of service to reveal the name. All right? Oh, everybody say, oh, man. You know, I know, the anticipation's killing you. I get it. But here's the thing. What I want to focus on and what I want to preach on is the mission, the vision, and the heart of this church. Because that truly is more important than the name, believe it or not. You can have a name, but if you don't have a heart and you don't have a purpose, you don't have life, you don't have much of anything. And the heart is the main thing. You can know my name, but you only know so much about me by knowing my name, right? There's a lot of, I don't know if there's a lot, but there's some, a few little Jarrett Wellses out there somewhere, you know, sprinkled in this world. There's people named Jarrett Wells, believe it or not. I Googled it, actually. I Googled it. There is people named Jarrett Wells out there with a T. By the way, my name is Jarrett, not Jared. But anyway, some of y'all was like, really? Really? Yes. But you can know my name, but not know my heart. Not know, truly know who I am. And I can know your name, but not truly know who you are. It's the heart that is the core of who we are. The heart is our innermost being. Everything revolves around the heart. It's the mind, the emotions, and the will. It's what motivates us. It's our passions. It's our desires. Everything revolves around the heart. So the heart of this church is very vitally important this morning to understand. Why are we here? What is the purpose? By the way, we are not here by just an accident. This is a divine appointment by God. God has placed us here to join in on the work of this ministry, to be a part of something special. And we need to understand why we exist. What is the purpose of this church? What is the motivation of this church? And here is the vision. Drum roll, please. Here's the vision. The heart. We exist to bring true freedom in Christ to all people within the Lake community and beyond. We exist to bring true freedom in Christ, to lead people to the true freedom that they can experience in Jesus Christ, a life of freedom. Now, when I say true freedom, that word true is important because some people define freedom as just doing whatever you want, living however you want, acting however, but it's not a freedom to sin, it's a freedom from sin. The heart of this church is that we lead people to the true freedom in Christ. And we're going to look at that in a lot of, I'm going to preach on that thought, the freedom we have in Christ this morning. But I want to look at it from a mission mindset. We're going to get deeper into this topic, by the way, in the coming weeks and months ahead. But I want us to understand that we as this church, yet to be named till the end, we are here to join in together in this ministry to lead people to Christ and the true freedom that they can experience through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The freedom to become who you were created to be. The freedom to live according to God's will and God's purpose. The freedom from the bondage of sin, maybe the freedom from the guilt of your past. The freedom from the law and living under just trying to be good enough. There are a lot of people in this world that they are hopeless and helpless and in bondage because they are not experiencing the true freedom that Jesus has to offer them. He says, I can give you life and life more abundantly. True freedom. And we come this morning to John chapter 8. And we in this thought that we have, the freedom of the heart, the freedom of the soul, the freedom from sin, we see the scene opens up in John chapter 8. I'm not gonna preach on this storyline. We're gonna get some context and go into verse 31. But this, I love this story. I can't just skip over it. Where this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. And the Pharisees are gathered around her, circling around her like a pack of dogs, picking up stones, ready to stone her. And she was standing there on the ground, laying there, condemned by the law, condemned by the Pharisees, condemned by people around, condemned by her own mind. The whole scene is a scene of condemnation. But then in walks Jesus. And when Jesus walks in, so does grace. Oh, we could have had at least one amen right there. When Jesus walks in, so does mercy. Amen. When Jesus walks in, so does freedom. Amen. And Jesus, while she looked around and looked in the eyes of her persecutors and her accusers, and everyone was condemning her, even her own heart and her own mind, her own thoughts were condemning her, she looked in the eyes of Jesus and found grace. Y'all can just act like that's no big deal, but I'm gonna get excited about it. She looked in the eyes of Jesus and he said, does no man condemn you? And she says, no man. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He set her free, but not free to sin, free from sin. Free from her past. Free from her guilt, free from her struggles, free from her shame, free from her sin. He is the Savior that offers true freedom to our lives, to our hearts, to our souls, to our minds. We need to share that message. We need to live that message. And then we see there is, I got to move this out the way. I'm gonna knock something over, I can tell already. But we see there's some back and forth with Jesus and the Pharisees, and then it leads us to this verse, this account in verse number 31, where Jesus says this. Jesus said to those Jews which believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And look here, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Can we say that together? Say, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. One, two, three. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's have everybody smile while we say it, because that's good news. One, two, three. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Ain't that great news this morning? Amen. And that's the news that we have to share with this community. That's the news that we have to share with the world, with our friends, with our loved ones. That's the ministry. That's the passion. That's the core of who we are, is that Jesus offers freedom to our hearts, true freedom. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. I want to give you three thoughts this morning for our note takers. Number one, the source of true freedom is the truth. The source of true freedom is the truth. He says, you shall know the what? Truth. That was weak. You shall know the what? Truth. I'm gonna get y'all talking to me this morning. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Y'all know there was a study that was done, I don't know how long ago, but it went something like this. 64% of adults and 83% of teenagers do not believe in absolute truth. They do not believe that there really is a such thing as absolute truth, that all truth is relative. That truth is depending upon your opinion of truth, pretty much. Depending on circumstances, depending on the individual. Basically, they're saying that all people come up with their own truth. 83% of teenagers believe that. You say, why is that a big deal? Because if there's no truth, there's no standard of right and wrong. There's no truth, there's no morality. And it brings my thought back to the book of Judges in the dark moment of the Jewish history where every man did that which was right in his own eyes because they did not believe and because people do not believe in absolute truth. And the devastating results is that people are suffering more mentally, emotionally, and spiritually than ever before because we have a world that is neglected and does not know the truth. But I want to share with you this morning that there are some absolute truths that we see in the Word of God. By the way, God is truth, right? God is true. He is our foundation. He is our stability. The Bible says, I am God and I change not. And there are some absolute truths. I want to give you just three of them this morning. One, there's the living truth. Two, there's the written truth. And three, there is the spirit of truth. Who is the living truth? Jesus. Jesus is that living truth. And if you take notes, John 1 verse 14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the one of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then he says in John 1 17 that the law comes by Moses, but grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. You know what? I love that scene, and I believe it's John 18, where Pilate is standing face to face with Jesus. And he thinks he's judging Jesus, but really Jesus, the great judge of the universe, is judging Pilate. And he looks at Jesus and he says, are you a king then? And Jesus says, you're saying the truth. I am a king, but my kingdom is not this world. Of this truth I have come. And then Pilate says this, asks this great question. He says, what is truth? Isn't that ironic? Pilate was standing face to face with the living truth, asking, what is truth? He was beholding and looking in the eyes of truth, asking what is truth. And then he walks away, appears before Jesus can even give an answer. He walks away and he says, I find no fault in this man. Why? Because he is the truth. The living truth. We see also the written truth. The word of God is the written truth that we have. How many is thankful this morning that y'all, we have a tangible truth that we can hold in our hands. That we don't have to guess about who God is, and we don't have to be in the dark about the gospel, and we have the truth that we can hold in our hands, and all of his promises are true. They are all yes and amen. All of his promises we can rest upon because they are true. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. John 17, 17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. We have the truth, the written truth that we can read and study. The reason we can come here today and leave just changed and challenged and encouraged is because we can open up the written truth of God's word and we can claim the promises. We can rest in the truth of his word. That's good news. The written truth, and then we see the spirit of truth. John 15, verse 26, Jesus says, but when the Comforter has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16, 13 says, howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I'm just trying to let you know this morning that there is absolute truth. The spirit of truth, the written truth, the living truth. God is truth. And that's important. You say, why is that important? Because in this shaky world where everything changes, he is our stability. He is our security. He is our firm foundation in a fallen, flimsy world. Whenever leaders change and politics change and laws change and culture changes and society changes and generations change and all these things, the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the truth. Say, what's so special about the truth? It sets us free, the Bible says. It makes us free. Free from what? Free from sin. Look what Jesus said in verse number 34. He said, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave or a servant of sin." The truth sets us free from the curse and the consequences of sin. The truth sets us free from the power, the penalty, and ultimately the presence of sin forever. The gospel brings salvation, brings sanctification, brings glorification. It sets us free from the curse of sin. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And we live in a world where there's so many lies that people are enslaved to the lies of this world. And they're living, battling discouragement, suffering with depression, experiencing the ultimate consequence of sin, the sting of death. We live in a fallen, sin-cursed world, but Jesus has come that he would set us free from the curse and the consequences of sin. That people can be set free in their minds and their hearts and their souls from the curse and the consequences of sin. You don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to live with your mind all mixed up with the lies of the enemy. Jesus has given us the truth of the Word of God. He is the truth, and he sets us free. Can I give you a couple thoughts about truth while we're on this topic? Truth matters. Truth matters. We as a church and as believers, we have to have something to give the world that matters, that makes a difference. And look, it's good to love people, it's good to show kindness to people, but ultimately, you have to have some kind of substance to offer them hope that Jesus can change their life, that Jesus can set them free from their sins. Truth really does matter, and we need to be a church that stands for truth. Don't water the truth, don't compromise the truth. The Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to proclaim the truth because the truth matters. The truth also, the truth is truth. Say, well, duh. Well, listen, the truth is truth no matter what you think about it. No matter what you feel, no matter your opinion, no matter if you accept it, reject it, receive it, understand it, the truth is the truth. Now, I can believe with all of my heart that I can climb on the top of this church and jump off and flap my arms and fly. If I ever do that, y'all please help me. Send me somewhere. But I can believe that with all my heart. But if I do it, is that gonna happen? No. I can not know the truth about the speed limit on this road, and I can get on this road 431 and drive 75 miles per hour, and a cop pulls me over, and I can say, "Well, I didn't know the truth that the speed limit was 55 or whatever. What is it? 55? That's good to know. Y'all be safe. Slow down. There's a big curve right there. But you think that's not going to be an adequate answer, is it? The truth is the truth. No matter if you believe it, understand it, know it, it's our job as the church to share this message. People are searching this world for truth. The cry of every heart is a longing for truth. And people go to false religions and beliefs and ideologies and philosophies, and it all ends up in a dead-end road. But we have the truth that we need to share with the world. The truth is the truth. Truth is exclusive. Jesus is not just a way and a truth. He is the. Oh, that little word's important, ain't it? The way and the truth. That's the controversy of Christianity, is that because he is the way, that means there is no other way. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, the truth is the truth. Whether you believe it or not. Truth is exclusive. Truth. Let me say this. Truth hurts. Anybody ever experienced the painful sting of truth? Truth hurts because truth brings you face to face with a reality that we don't want to believe or see. And that is, sometimes we need to understand we are not as good as we think we are. When you open your Bible and you look in the mirror of God's word, you say, well, I'm pretty good person. The Bible says your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Your goodness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. We need a Savior because we are not good. We are not good enough. You know, when you look in the mirror, by the way, I'm not liking to look in the mirror the older I get. Especially those mirrors that, like, you walk in a fancy place and they got two mirrors, and I see the back of my head and that bald spot's getting a little bigger. Some of y'all don't need a back mirror, do you? But I'm like, man, when'd that get there? It's a big spot back there. People will take pictures and I'll say, that ain't me, is it? That must be bad lighting. I don't like to face the truth. I don't like to, you know, it irritates. It hurts sometimes, but the truth is the truth. And then I want to share this, and then I'm going to move on. The truth transforms. Amen. Isn't that important to know? The truth transforms. Whenever Paul was on Damascus Road and he was walking down Saul the persecutor, he was encountered by the truth. It was not his level of education. It wasn't his knowledge of Judaism. It wasn't his pedigree, his heritage. It wasn't his achievements that changed his life. It was that he came face to face and encountered the living truth. And the truth spoke to him, and he heard the word of truth. And the Holy Spirit of truth softened his heart and changed his life. Changed his desires, changed him from the inside out, changed his course, changed his calling. Literally, he repented. He did a 180, going from Saul, the one who persecuted Christians, to Paul, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, reaching people for Christ. Isn't that amazing? Truth transforms. And that's the message. That's the message we share with the world, is that there is a truth, and this truth does matter because it changes people's life and it sets them free. We see not only the source of true freedom in this world, or the source of true freedom is the truth, but we see the condition of true freedom is faith. The condition of true freedom is faith. He says, you shall know the truth. And that little word, know, I believe that's more than just an intellectual assent to a fact. That word know is more personal than that. It means you become one with that truth. You receive that truth in your heart. That little word know, if you go back into Genesis chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says Adam knew Eve and bore a son. That word know, it's speaking of becoming one. Speaking of the intimacy, abiding. Jesus says, if you abide in me, you know, we have to become one. We have to receive the truth in our heart by faith. The Bible tells us, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. America, speaking of freedom, has a long history of wars, don't we? And what are we doing in those wars? We're fighting for freedom. We're pursuing freedom. We're maintaining freedom. It's the fight for freedom because we all know that freedom is not free, right? It's been paid for by the blood of American soldiers. It was purchased by the blood, the people giving their life so that we could be free. The same applies spiritually, doesn't it? Jesus gave his life on the cross so that we could have spiritual freedom, so that we could be set free. Here's where I want to go with this. That means that the battle is already won. Ain't that good to know? You're not fighting for your spiritual freedom. So freedom has come by a cost, but it's not a cost paid by you. Freedom has come through a battle, but it's not a battle that you had to win. Freedom Spiritual freedom is not won by us, it's given to us. It's a gift from God. Listen, usually when you think about freedom, you think about fighting for freedom. But listen to me. Spiritual freedom doesn't come from fighting. It comes from surrendering. I'm going to say that one again over here. Spiritual freedom doesn't come from you fighting. It comes from you surrendering. Surrendering your life, believing and trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross, because he won the battle on the cross. He gave his life. He shed his blood. Through him, there's forgiveness. There's justification. There's salvation. There is deliverance. He won the battle. And all we're doing is placing ourselves on the winning side. We are on the side with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you this question. Does anybody know any bandwagon fans where they only jump on the bandwagon, the team that's winning? That's when they get on. I worked with somebody before that they never knew who their team was until they were going to the Super Bowl. They wanted to be on the winning side. Church, we've got to understand it. It should bring excitement to our soul that we are on the winning side. Jesus has conquered death. He's conquered sin. He's conquered Satan. When we position ourselves and surrender our life to him, we place ourselves on the winning side, and we have victory, and we have freedom, and we have peace. You say, why in the world would anyone reject that freedom? Well, that's what the Pharisees did, didn't they? Look at verse number 33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free?" You know what's funny? They're talking about physical freedom here, physical bondage. Jewish people were always in bondage. From Babylon, or from Assyria to Egypt to... While he was saying this statement, they were under oppression of Rome. There was probably a Roman guard listening to him say, "Hold up now. You what? You free? You ain't free. Get out of line. We'll see how free you are." But the thing is they were not talking about spiritual freedom. They were talking about physical freedom. They did not even know that they were not spiritually free, because they were trusting in their goodness, their good works, their knowledge, their education, their credentials. They were trusting in all of the things of this world, and they were deceived, thinking that was their way to freedom. You know what that does? It reveals to us a problem in this world, that there are people that really think they're free that are truly held in bondage of sin. They've never been free to even know they're not free. And they just continue to live this life of sin in their own little prison of sin. Can't ever break out, can't ever get free. And by the way, this does not just apply to people that are not Christians. Jesus says to the ones that believed in him, he says, "If you know the truth shall set you free." You can be a believer and still be in bondage. You can still have sinful behaviors and habits that you feel like you can't break because you're not surrendering yourself to Christ. You can still suffer from the shame of your past and guilt. You can still feel like, because you don't know the truth, that you got to be good enough for God's love. Because you don't know the truth, you are stuck in this prison that Jesus has conquered, and he's got the key and he's opened the door, but you're still stuck in this prison. You don't even know how you are not free. Anybody ever heard the word institutionalized? It's when a prisoner spends a long sentence in prison and they've been there so long that they don't even know. They just become accustomed to the fact that this is their life. I wonder if there's somebody in here this morning that you've been this way for so long and you just think there's no hope for you. You think that this is just the way I am. No, God's power and God's strength and God's spirit is able to set you free. You're not created to be just the way you are. You're created by the power of the Holy Spirit to be free. Institutionalized. Anybody got any Andy Griffith fans in here this morning? Y'all remember Otis? The old town drunk Otis, He would come in after a long night of drinking, and he would go get that key off the wall, open the prison, put himself in, shut the door, lock it. And that was just his way of life. He'd just stay there in prison, right? I wonder if we have some Otises in here, or maybe you know some Otises. You've been institutionalized. They're so bound in sin, they don't even realize what God... Here's the thing. We have to proclaim to the world that God has not called us to be slaves of sin, but sons and daughters of the King. Amen. He's not called us to be held in bondage. He's called us to freedom, to victory. He's not called us to be under the power and the penalty, the clutches and the consequences of sin. He's called us to be free. You say, well, what do? You keep standing and sharing the truth of Christ for those that are around you. And that brings me to my last point. The messengers of true freedom, the messenger of true freedom is the church. AKA you and I, the body of Christ. In John 8, Jesus was physically in this world, and he said to them, if the Son, speaking of himself, sets you free, you can be free indeed. 2,000 years later, we have the same message that Jesus sets people free. If you will come to him, if you will surrender him, if you will give your life to him, he will set you free. Everybody in here this morning, if you are a believer and you've been set free by Jesus Christ, you are here because somebody loved you enough to tell you the truth. They didn't care how socially awkward it was. They didn't care if it would hurt your feelings. They didn't care if you'd receive it or reject it. They loved you enough to tell you the truth. You ever had some bad news you got to share with somebody? And you're reluctant, you procrastinate, you put it off, look for any reason not to share it? We have the good news of the gospel and we treat it like bad news. Think about it. We're reluctant to share it, aren't we? A message that sets people free, we're reluctant to share it. Jesus died so that we could be free. We procrastinate and put it off. You can escape the eternity in hell. We look for reasons to not share. We have the good news, and we should go in this world as the body of Christ, as the church, as the messengers, fulfilling the Great Commission, sharing the truth that Jesus truly does love this world. He died for it so that we could be free. If you withhold the truth, you're withholding love. The method and the motivation of this message should be love. There was an atheist. This is a challenge from an atheist I want to share with you. There was an atheist, Penn Jillette, I think is his name, part of the magic duo, Penn and Teller. He said this, talking about a man that came and witnessed to him. He said, I respected that man. Because there are some Christians that won't evangelize. And he says this, listen, how much do you have to hate somebody to not evangelize? Anybody else just got convicted? How much do you have to hate somebody to know that there's a heaven, know there is a hell, know that Jesus is the only way, and not tell them the truth? As we have a song of invitation, I want to share. I had a friend that he's involved in youth ministry. And he's just getting involved in this church and the youth ministry. And he got them to do a survey, asking them questions. And he shared with me the survey. I don't remember the numbers of it all, but listen, there were so many teenagers, over half, that wanted to harm themselves. And even worse, I won't go into details. So many teenagers that did not know the truth, did not have a relationship with God. So many teenagers that do not experience, know the love of God. And they're broken and they're hopeless and they're hurting. They feel like nobody cares and nobody loves them and nobody's there for them. They feel empty inside. There's a void of truth. And we have the message. We have the truth that changes lives. It's our purpose. It's our calling. It's our mission. It's our job to share this truth with the world. The reason I'm here this morning. Now, some of y'all know I work shift work. I'll be honest with you. I didn't get a lot of sleep this morning. Got here, prepared, did help with the music. I love it. I'm so honored and thankful to be here. But some people say, why would you do that to yourself? Go run with no sleep hardly. Because there is a message that needs to be heard. It's the message of truth. That Jesus changes lives. You say, what can I do? I believe I'm here and you're here for the purpose of getting in this mission, joining together and sharing this message with the world that Jesus truly does offer freedom to the hurting, to the lost, to the broken. And I wonder this morning, who is that person that you know that needs to experience truth, that needs to experience the freedom in Christ, that needs to hear the truth? Will you commit yourself to this vision? As this church, this vision, will we come together under the one heart to see people set free through Jesus Christ? Let's stand to our feet this morning. And I want to ask you, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If you'd like to just spend some time praying in your seat, if you want to spend some time praying at this altar, maybe you need prayer, maybe you don't know the truth, maybe you've never experienced a true relationship with Jesus. He has a better life. He has joy, he has peace. And you can have that today. Father, we love you. We thank you. I pray that you would move in our hearts, stir up a passion in our soul. Give us a burden for those that are living in the bondage of sin. And God, that you will give us a zeal and a fire in our heart to reach those that are lost, oh God. Father, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Spend some time just reflecting, thinking, praying. If you need prayer, I'm here to pray. If you just want to pray silently, let's spend some time and reflect on this message.